How's that? Okay. I would like to begin with a news article I read just this morning. I appreciated the prayer this morning. It touched upon some missionary needs, but this was specifically taking place in Haiti, where apparently 13 or 14 missionaries were taken captive, were kidnapped by marauding gangs that apparently are all over Haiti because they're so poor and they're always looking for some way of getting money. They kidnap people and then demand certain amounts of money in order to release them. So I would encourage you to pray for these missionaries who apparently were building an orphanage. And they left the orphanage, but somehow or other they were taken captive. And you can imagine what they must be going through. They're serving the Lord, and now they're being required to be, could even be martyrs for the sake of Christ. So we commit them to the Lord in prayer, and I would appreciate that. I'd like to begin by reading Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. I don't know if that's on the overhead or if you have that. Anyway, it says, "Once, having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, 'The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, "Here it is," or "There it is," because the kingdom of God is within you." Months ago, we began a study in the Lord's Prayer. We're talking about the intimacy of a relationship that we may have with God, our Heavenly Father, but it is only, as was prayed earlier, that that is possible when Jesus Christ is our personal Lord and Savior. Then, and only then, may we refer to God in heaven as our Father or my Father. Then we went on to talk about the fact that God is in heaven. Not that he is absolutely in heaven because he is stationed there, as it were, but he has sent the gift of his Son into this world to make God more of a reality. We can could have seen him and touched him and felt him and smelt him. He was a reality as God, his Father in heaven, is a reality. I don't know if any of you took up the challenge of praying with your eyes open, but I continue to do that, and it's rather a challenge. Even this morning, I was looking up at those lights, and I was able to focus on heaven when I pray. I know it's awkward sometimes because I often in my morning prayers kneel when I pray, and it's sort of awkward to look up into heaven, so I bow my head in prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, and we are encouraged to hallow his name. I was here a few weeks ago, not as a speaker, just as a guest, because I was retrieving my Bible, which I hadn't read for some time. No, it's a red Bible, so I couldn't read it, but I have alternatives. But at any rate, it was interesting to hear people praying using the actual name, the Hebrew name of God, Jehovah Yireh, the God who provides. I don't know if you took up the challenge of using those names that were distributed among you, but I constantly do that just to be reminded of how precious and hallowed that name is. Well, this morning we would like to talk about a brand new world order. We know that kingdoms have a tendency of coming and going as well. Probably most familiar to most of us in the days in which we have lived, some of you have lived through this, when Adolf Hitler established what he thought was going to be an everlasting and an overshadowing kingdom. How long did that last? Probably less than a decade. it came to an end very quickly. Not with victory, but with destruction. But I think of a biblical story that may even be more telling. And that is the story of King Nebuchadnezzar, who one night had a dream. And he must have been disturbed by that dream because he asked the wisdom of his followers, of his people, of his special council to tell him what the dream was and then to interpret it, and no one could do it. So Daniel was finally called, and he interpreted that dream, and he told King Nebuchadnezzar, now what you saw was a huge image, and that image was made of different kinds of metal, and the head of that image represented you and your kingdom. It was going to be great, and it was great. But the interesting thing was that all of those kingdoms in succession were going to be destroyed. And he told Nebuchadnezzar that your kingdom also was going to come to an end. This act has repeated itself throughout history. And we're going to come to find, as we study this, that there is one kingdom that will never come to an end. There was purpose in history for the Hebrews. It was not just a hodgepodge of events leading any which way without a purpose. For the Jews, there was a beginning, a middle, and an end. History for them was moving forward with a meaningful purpose. They believed their God was active in history that was always leading toward the establishment of the kingdom of God. Now, lest we get a little confused, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are basically the same thing. It's mentioned in different ways in the New Testament at least 80 times. And it's interesting when you come across your reading of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God that you ought to pay note or pay attention. So the question is, I'm going to be asking several questions. One of the questions is this: of what do you think of when you see the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God mentioned? Because when we pray the prayer, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come," what are you praying? What are you praying for? And this ought to cause us to pay a little more attention to what it is we are praying for. Because this is the first request that is offered in this particular prayer. Well, when I think of the kingdom of heaven, and there may be other things, I think, first of all, of a place over which God would rule. He is the ruler. Secondly, I would think of an indefinable people over whom God would rule. That means we are part of his kingdom, and he is the ruler. Which brings us to the third point, which is very follows the others. God is acting as king. This day or this time would be ushered in by God's anointed one, the Messiah, on the so-called day of the Lord. This is in distinction from the end of times. At this time, God would intervene in history in a very radical way and completely transform this broken world. God would come to reverse the effects of the fall of humanity. Hallelujah. So we're talking here about a brand new world order centered on God's throne, and we've been singing about it, we've been talking about it. And it is also centered on the Lamb of God. As we read the book of Revelation, that becomes very clear. Heaven, the kingdom of heaven, is a place where we are remade completely into the image of God, and where all creation will be restored to God's original design. How grateful we ought to be, especially as we wear these broken bodies of ours. Can you visualize in this picture what the kingdom of God really looks like? Well, our prayer is to be, "Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." What does that look like? Well, let's look at three P's. The first one is a promised kingdom. The Hebrew Kaddish, which is more a prayer book, says, "May God let his kingdom rule in your lifetime and in your days and in the lifetime of the whole house of Israel speedily and soon." The Hebrew prophets longed for the day when God would finally impose and establish his kingly rule over the entire world. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus, when he had entered into Galilee, said, proclaimed the good news of God. And he said, the time has come, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And the word for time in that particular passage of scripture refers to a unique moment determined by God for the fulfillment of his divine purpose. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "At the fullness of time, God sent his Son." Well, folks, in the fullness of time, God is going to establish his kingdom on earth. Jesus is announcing that in him and because of him, the future reign of God, spoken of by the prophets, the glorious new order of life, is both just about to descend upon the earth, and the dawning is right now. Speaking of the end times, in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, it says, "The God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever." That is the promise that we read of in the Old Testament primarily, and even from the mouth of Christ himself. But we know this kingdom is not only promised, it is present, as we've already read. Following Jesus' astonishing claim that the time has come, the kingdom of God is near, the gospel writers go on to record Jesus' mighty deeds. These deeds validated his claim. The fact that he caused the blind to see, the lame to walk, the lepers to be healed, and so on. That is all the kingdom of God breaking into the present. And it is probably mostly seen, and there are other examples one could use, I suppose, it is seen in the life of Zacchaeus. You remember that Jesus went into his home finally after he found Zacchaeus hanging in a tree. And the interesting thing, as Jesus communicated with him, he was able to say, "Today, salvation has come to this house. The kingdom of God has arrived here and now in the life of Zacchaeus." And I reiterate again, Luke chapter 17, where it is said, where Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." For lack of a better word, I used the word starting with P for potential, but I'm referring to the future. We had the promise, We have the present, and we also have the future. You've probably heard, and you've probably said this many times yourself on a journey where you were going some distance. Your children in particular may have said this, "Mom, Dad, are we there yet?" Well, we're almost there would probably be our expression, but we've got a little way to go to appease them a little bit. Well, the fact of the matter is, this is exactly what is going on with the kingdom of God. It is, we're almost there, and not quite. The kingdom is still to come. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 18, we read, "For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom comes." And that is why I believe many of the parables that Jesus shared with us started out by saying the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is like unto something. But to me also interesting is that some of the parables were indicating to us that we must be watching and waiting, and I would suggest also praying about being ready for whenever that kingdom arrives. Because I believe it was Mark who said, Mark 13, verse 37, be on the alert. Don't just take it for granted, but be on the alert. How are we on the alert? By being ready for the coming of the kingdom of God. Put on your best apparel, as it were, but remember that the kingdom of heaven is within you. Make sure that that which is within you is pure and righteous, of course, through Jesus Christ. I can't put it much better than a writer who wrote extensively on the Lord's Prayer. Darrell Johnson was his name. Because the King has come, the kingdom has come. Because the King is here, the kingdom is here. Because the King is still to come, the kingdom is still to come. Possibly another way to put it is already, not yet. Partial, not yet complete. The presence of the kingdom cannot be separated from the presence of the King. The kingdom is where the King is. In other words, it is a present reality as well as a future hope. So, in the light of what has been said already, what does it mean for us to pray that your kingdom come? I believe our prayer is twofold, at least. We ought to be praying, God, hasten the coming of your day, the day of the Lord, when your kingdom will be present in all its fulfillment, and we will be with you forever as we look upon your glory. And then secondly, may your kingdom be seen in and through me in all that I do. I suppose I could summarize what I've been saying so far in this phrase. We're referring to the spiritual reign of God in the hearts of men that will find reality one day when Jesus Christ comes back again. But there's one other phrase that I'd like to combine together with praying, thy kingdom or your kingdom come on earth. What does that mean? Well, I pray that his kingdom will come and be evident in my life, but may his kingdom come upon this earth. May it be spread to others. May others come to realize that salvation is only through Christ, our Lord. One final statement, and I've been trying to think of how I could best explain this, But it's very simple as far as Jesus was concerned, because it was the very first thing he said in the Beatitudes, or in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Who are the poor in spirit? Those who recognize, of course, they're standing before God as sinners who are desperately in need of redemption. And that is what we need to pray, not just for ourselves, but for the world around us. May God help us to pray that prayer very obviously, and for ourselves and for others. May your kingdom come. And let us look at the reality of that. Won't it be glorious when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again? That is going to be the reality of his kingdom coming. I long for that day, whether it's when Christ comes, or if he may take me on my way home even. If he takes me to heaven, so be it. I'm looking forward to the kingdom of heaven. And I trust you will too. So if you're in the, this is what I feel very strongly. If you're in the process of dying, count it a privilege, because you're going to soon be found in the kingdom of heaven. And the reason I say that, yesterday I was at a funeral. I forget how old the young lady was, but she's probably in her 40s. All of a sudden, she had cancer. And it was a very deadly kind of cancer. Within probably a few weeks, she passed away. And the one thing that she wanted people to pay tribute to was the flowers. She loved flowers. She loved color. The whole front of the auditorium was filled with flowers. People brought flowers after flower after flower. But folks, even though her husband and her family, I'm sure, miss her, she's in God's glorious kingdom. We ought to be looking forward to that. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, that ought to come to mind with us. Let us pray. Oh, Father God, Abba, we thank you so much that you are in heaven, that you have revealed yourself to us through your Son and through nature as well. We thank you that your name is hallowed among us because you are so precious to us. But we also pray, Father, that your kingdom might come and find its residence within our hearts day by day, so that as the world looks upon us, they might in fact see the kingdom of God within us. But may your kingdom come in reality when your blessed Son returns to this earth in glory, and that we may be with him forever. Amen.